The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
My guest on the podcast today is working on a plan to eventually leave his job and support himself off of his rentals. He's not quite there yet. He's making a pretty substantial amount of money off of his rentals, over $100,000 a year. But he wants an even bigger number before he leaves his job. So we're going to talk to him today about what he's doing, how he got to where he is, and where he's trying to go, plus go over some of the numbers. So let's take a real quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Anton Ivanov from San Diego. Are you looking for actionable steps to create wealth and passive income? As a top-ranked business and investing podcast with over 800 five-star reviews, the Passive Real Estate Investing Show is packed with strategies and insight for putting money in your pocket. Marco Santarelli from Narada Real Estate Investments brings his expertise and knowledge on both passive and turnkey real estate investing, and he provides listeners with helpful tools and tips to create the wealth you've always wanted. Head over to iTunes or Google Play today and subscribe to Passive Real Estate Investing Podcast, or visit PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com. That's PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Hey, Anton, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Why don't we start with you telling us what your portfolio looks like today and how much profit you're making off your rentals?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for the invite, Dan. Great to be here. Great to share my story with your audience. So me and my wife, we currently have 35 total rental units. And believe it or not, we actually just closed on another fourplex this morning, right before recording this.
Congratulations.
So that will take us to 39.
Awesome.
Overall, we're getting, upwards of 10,000 of monthly cash flow. More to like the 11 and 12,000 as we're stabilizing and kind of raising the rents across the board.
I just want to be clear, that 10 to 12,000 is actual profit that you're taking every month after you've paid your mortgages, your management, any repairs that might come up. That's your actual profit, right?
Absolutely. And also including, things like vacancies and capital expenditure allowance that we have.
That is awesome.
So this is the bottom line net cash flow.
Awesome. So where are you headed with this? Like, what's your goal as far as cash flow and the kind of lifestyle you want to live?
Yeah. So real estate, back when we first started investing, it has always been a means to kind of early retirement for us. So from the get-go, we focused on, buying cash-flowing real estate primarily for the purpose of replacing our income with rental income, among other sources. So our original goal was actually 50 total units, and the way we kind of arrived at that is we started backwards. We said, look, if we had about 150 to 200,000 of kind of yearly income between me and my wife, we would be very happy and comfortable in retiring early. So we figured, well, we'll probably get around $200, $300 of monthly cash flow per unit. And that's kind of where we got the 50 unit number originally. And that's been our goal ever since. So I'd say we probably got there a little quicker than we thought. Originally, we thought it would take us into our 40s together, and we're at 39 units in our early 30s. So,
and how many years have you been working at this for?
Oh gosh, I'd say the last 5 years, really aggressively.
Okay, that's awesome. And today, you and your wife are both working full time, right?
Correct. So this has always been kind of a side, you know, thing for us. I'm not a full time real estate investor. Neither is my wife. We have our full-time jobs, and actually that's been one of the keys that helped us grow our portfolio so quickly is keeping our W-2 income, saving as much money as possible, and investing all of that that we could save into real estate.
And that is really, I think, incredible. It's almost like an old school way that you've done this. Like, you're not using any creative financing. You're basically saving money from your check, and now that you've built up the portfolio, you're saving money. I guess you're saving your cash flow and using that to reinvest to buy more properties.
I think it's a very underrated strategy, to be honest. It's kind of everywhere you go online or books, people do talk a lot about, you know, hey, here's how to buy a rental with zero money down. Here's how to use other people's money. I think all of those strategies are great if you can master them. I do think that, you know, the majority of people interested in real estate have some sort of job, some career, maybe even some savings. And, you know, kind of taking control of your budget, growing your income, and then having a high savings rate, I feel is something that a lot of people underestimate the power of. Because if you you can start saving immediately, and if you're diligent about it, and they, you know, you can start buying maybe one, maybe two properties a year. And then if you continue doing so, and then on top of it, save all of the rental income and all of the cash flow you're receiving from your portfolio, it's really quickly to build up the snowball effect, so to speak, that will kind of allow you to, you know, first you're buying a few units a year, and it's kind of slow, but then it's going to speed up really quick. And all of a sudden you're buying five, you know, maybe even 10 properties a year. And it's just a cumulative effect that allows you to grow your portfolio that much quicker.
That snowball is so powerful. And I think we lose a lot of people along the way because it can seem daunting at first. I mean, if you're only saving a few hundred dollars out of each paycheck, and maybe you've only got one rental property and you're saving a few hundred bucks a month, it seems like it's going to take forever. But you're living proof that if you just stick with it, eventually over time, it pays off. And by over time, I mean, we're talking to you 5 years into this. So did things really start building right away for you, or was it slow at first?
So it was definitely kind of slow ramp up at the beginning. And like I said, it was very much, you know, we started with house hacking a duplex, and then that was kind of our only property for quite a few years as we were saving more money for additional purchases. And I would say only in the last few years did we get to a point where we can buy, you know, 10 plus units a year. But it is definitely a slow ramp up. But I don't think you should be afraid of that.
Right.
I think it's part of the, you know, kind of being patient and playing the long game with real estate.
And one thing that I think has helped you is you've got an engineer, and I think a lot of engineers are really successful with rentals because you kind of look at this as a math problem, right?
Yeah.
So talk me through that, like the numbers behind, as you were kind of envisioning this portfolio, walk me through the numbers that you kind of laid out.
Not only do I kind of focus on cash flow, obviously that's one of my primary metrics, but I also very much research the city, and I want to focus on, you know, well, you know, kind of thriving cities where those fundamental growth and kind of projections and past performance, I feel, are going to drive long-term performance of rental properties.
I think that's a really good point. A lot of people get hung up on the property, but the market that it's in and the neighborhood that it's in are, I think, the most important things to look at. The properties are really kind of interchangeable, but if you have a good market in a good neighborhood, I think the rest of it is going to fall right into line.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about one of your deals. Like, let's talk about one of your recent deals. and get into the numbers and exactly how you make this work. So I know you've got one of your deals in front of you. So tell me about this property.
Yeah, so this fourplex, you know, one of the most recent ones, purchase price we agreed on. This was a private off-market deal with the seller directly. Four units, we agreed on a $195 sale price with some concessions. I offered to pay seller's closing costs and waive the inspection contingency. So we're buying, you know, this was a purchase for about $48,000 per unit. So, you know, I would say this was probably a 20-25 discount to market value. The property itself was in okay shape, but definitely needed cosmetic work. The current rents that the seller was getting were about $500-$550 per unit. The market rents, in my experience, for a fully rehabbed you know, unit of that size in that area were about $700-$750 per unit. So I felt like I was getting a really good deal. Mm-hmm. As far as the rehab goes, it was about $5,000 to $6,000 per unit in cosmetic upgrades. We're talking about, you know, new flooring, paint throughout, new fixtures, new appliances, and maybe some, you know, rework in the bathroom and the kitchen, but not full tear downs.
So this is kind of where I like the
properties to be. I don't want to do major electrical or plumbing or structural overhaul.
Was the property fully rented when you bought it, or was it vacant?
There was one vacant unit in the property. The rest were rented for between $5,000 and $550.
Okay.
And what I typically do on these properties is I move the tenants around and basically do the rehabs on the vacant units on a rolling basis. So I don't kick all the tenants out. You know, the vacant unit, we start doing the rehab immediately. Then we actually either approach existing tenants and ask them, hey, would you like to move to this, you know, nicer unit? Or next time their lease is up or they vacate the properties, when we would rehab their units, release for, you know, between $700 and $750, you know, kind of do that in a few years, we would have the full building rehabbed.
So then are you using the rent money that you're making off the units that haven't been rehabbed to basically fund the rehab and fix up the property basically by having it pay for itself?
It's definitely it's a combination of using the rents from that building as well as the rest of my portfolio.
Okay.
At this point, you know, our portfolio generates quite a bit of cash every month. And we can basically divert the cash flow from other units towards rehabbing our new acquisitions.
Okay.
And then once they're fully rehabbed, then, you know, all the cash flow can start getting saved towards next property purchase.
Okay. Now, what about financing? What kind of down payment did you put down on this property?
So this property, I put down 30% on a commercial loan. The rates are obviously a little higher than the conventional mortgages, and then amortization periods are a little lower.
Okay. So is that basically what you're putting down today on when you buy a property, about 30%?
Yeah, between 25% and 30%. I definitely, you know, we have the cash at this point. I like to have at least some equity in the properties. So I don't mind putting that down, and it does increase the cash flow right off the bat.
Now, what about saving money for repairs? Do you put money aside every month for repairs, or do you have so much cash flow at this point that you can basically fund anything that comes up?
It's a great question. Actually, ever since we started our, you know, ever since we had our first property, we followed a kind of like an emergency fund approach that you often hear, you know, suggested for your personal finances, where you, you know, have a certain amount worth of expenses for, like, let's say 5 or 6 months saved for your personal, you know, emergencies. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife do that for every property you own. So we do get the cash flow, but we actually have a dedicated, you know, savings fund that has about 5 months worth of regular operating expenses for each of the properties you owned in that fund. And we use this fund basically if we have, you know, maybe multiple vacancies in any given time, and we have to, you know, still pay the mortgage and other expenses, or if we have, you know, large amounts of rehabs that just kind of came up, or we have, you know, kind of other expenses that were unexpected.
Okay.
So definitely have a reserve. Obviously, if we can use the cash flow that's coming in, we would, but it's very nice having that reserve in case, you know, you do run over, especially once your portfolio kind of gets to 10, 20 plus units. Your expenses may be in the tens of thousands sometimes.
Now, what about the distance? So you live in San Diego. Your rentals that you're buying now for the most part are in Kansas City. Is the distance a problem at all? Like, do you physically go to the properties when you buy them, or are you relying on your local team at this point and doing things online?
It's definitely a combination, and distance, like you said, Dan, it's definitely a kind of a barrier, but I think it's something you can work around. I'll say several things to that. One is long distance investing places a huge emphasis on your actual local team. So these are the property managers, inspectors, you know, your contractors and your other members. They're essentially doing the work for you. So the key for us to have been successful with out of state investing has been, you know, very selectively picking the people we work with. But not only that, but what I call is like grooming your team. And what I mean by that is, you know, you say you hire a property manager out of state. Obviously, they've been in business for a while, that they know how to do some, you know, most things, and they probably have a certain way of doing them. That may not necessarily be exactly how you want things done, or you may have additional requirements that you have for your properties. And I think it's very important to establish that right off the bat up front with each property manager, or broker, or anybody else you work with. So anytime I start working with a new property manager, we sit down, we basically create a set of checklists, procedures, you know, written documents that we agree on that they can follow. And starting from, you know, what is our leasing criteria? What is our kind of advertised rent? What do we do if the unit is not getting rented? You know, do we drop the price? Do we offer some incentive? What is the scope of work that we perform when the units are getting turned? And then how we deal with evictions, you know, that sort of thing. So we put it all in writing. We distribute it across, you know, various members of the team, and then everybody's on the same page. And I feel like that's, you know, it takes time to go through this process, but it not only gives your property managers basically, you know, the authority and the power to do certain things without your approval. It also gives you peace of mind because you know that, hey, we already discussed how this was going to be done. You know, you can sleep, I guess, better at night knowing that just because you're not there, things are still getting done, you know, kind of according to how you want it to.
Right.
So that has been the absolute key. You know, as far as flying out, I do try to visit most of my properties at least once a year, especially in Kansas City where we have, you know, a large concentration. So I'll make a visit there for just a few days. Try to pack as much stuff into one of those visits, tour some new properties or areas I may be interested in, do an inspection of my existing properties, meet with my team, meet new members if I'm adding them to my team. And, you know, if it is a new area, new property that I'm buying, I would typically fly out, maybe not before the purchase, but at least during escrow and during property inspection. I really like walking through the properties with an inspector. So I can ask them questions, have them point out things that, you know, I may not know about. You know, if it's kind of like there have been times where I'm buying a fourplex literally on the same street as my other properties. I know the area. I've actually driven by the fourplex. It's in a very similar condition. I can probably skip flying out for that one. I would still order an inspection and look at the report. So I think you really have to, you know, kind of gauge it on your comfort level. Definitely if it's a new city and you don't have a lot of connections or knowledge about it, I would visit it at least once to actually drive through the neighborhoods, tour some properties, meet your team, get that firsthand, you know, kind of look at what you would be buying.
Awesome. Well, so tell us about an app. So you're a software developer for your day
Yep.
job and you're a real estate investor. on the side, and you've basically combined these two loves you have, and you've come up with an app called Deal Check. Tell us about this app that you've built.
Sure. So, you know, a few years ago, I was driving around a lot, being kind of out of the office, and I was always analyzing, you know, investment properties. Like we talked before, one of the keys to being successful is you need to analyze the cash flow. You need to understand how, you know, different structures of the deal, different financing will affect your overall returns, profit, long-term projections. So I was looking for a mobile app that I could do this really quickly, kind of like back of the napkin analysis. Didn't find one, so I built one called Deal Check. Deal Check is basically a platform for helping you analyze rental properties, flips, multifamily, commercial, wholesale deals, fairly all-inclusive. You know, you plug into how the deal can be structured, specify your finances, and then you can quickly see what your net operating income, cash flow, all of your returns, you know, cash on cash, ROI, IRR, how your profit from flips will look like. So it's an all-inclusive property analysis calculator that you can use either online at dealcheck.io or download the Deal Check mobile app to your iPhone or Android device. And it's free to use. You can get started for free. You know, ever since kind of I started as a side project, it eventually grew really rapidly. And we now have over 75,000 investors and agents and other professionals using the app. So if you're looking for a property analysis calculator, you're tired of using Excel spreadsheets, check it out. Again, it's free to use. And if you do want to upgrade to one of the more full feature paid plans, I have a special promo code just for listeners of your podcast, Dan. It's rental25.
Awesome. So that's 25% off.
25% off. But again, you can start 100% for free, no credit card required. You can use the free version for as long as you like. If you're one of those power users, need full features, get 25% off with the Rental25 promo code.
Awesome. And I'll go ahead and put a link to that on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode205. Well, Anton, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time.
Dan, it was great being here, and looking forward to doing this again sometime in the future.
Sure, that sounds great to me. Well, if today's episode inspired you and you're ready to buy a rental property, the lender that I recommend you check out is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender. She specializes in working with investors, and she can help you no matter where you are in your investment journey. If you've got fewer than 10 rental properties, she can help you with what she calls your 10 golden tickets. Those are the loans that you're going to get the best rates on and the best terms. If you've got more than 10 properties, she's got specialty loan products to help you finance a rental property. You can find out more today at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE lendinggroup.com, NMLS 42056. If you're looking to save some money the next time you need to rent a car, I definitely recommend you check out autoslash.com. This website's pretty cool. I've used it a couple of times. The way that it works is you go to autoslash.com, you put in the details on where you want to pick up the car, the dates that you need it for, and then autoslash.com gets to work, and it will find every single discount out there. It will find every promo code. It will check any discounts you may be eligible for, like maybe if you're a AAA member or a Costco member. It will apply all the discounts and get you the cheapest rate out there to rent a car. Now, the magic to AutoSlash is that it doesn't stop working when it finds you a great rate. It continues to search the internet and continues to find better rates. And when it does, it will email you and let you know you can cancel the first reservation with no penalty and rebook a new reservation at the lower rate. The average user will get a couple of different rates, a couple of better rates when they rebook their reservation. And the average user saves 30% off the rate they can find on any other car rental site. So it's really, really very cool. It's totally free and definitely something you want to check out the next time you need to rent a car. The website again is autoslash.com. That's AUTOSLASH, autoslash.com. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.